As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Her brand new album, Bed of Roses, is out on Friday. And such a cool thing, there's actually a book by the same name that comes with it that's coming out this summer. Kaylee Hammock, so many good things. Like, this is so fun.
It's an exciting week for sure.
It's
been 5 years, you know, since I put out an album. So very excited. And this is my first book. So let's see how it goes. Give me good reviews on Goodreads, please.
We'll talk book in just a second. First, I want to talk album. Tell me about this record, because I know you've been working on it for 5 years. Waiting to put this next record out. Talk about like what you wanted to say with these songs, the whole process.
Well, it was really about 10 years of writing to accumulate all of these stories and the life lessons, and it encapsulates from 20 to 30. I turned 30 last year, and I have learned so much about myself. I found myself on a pursuit of trying to find good, steady love. I have been on a search to find my soulmate, but also find inspiration in the heartbreaks come along. Mm. And I'm just so happy that throughout these different things, it's always the songs on the last record, on the first record, that people have connected the deepest to was the most vulnerable of songs. So with this album, I tried to really just wear my heart on my sleeve within the lyrics and the production, and kind of go back to the basics as far as the organic rootsy sound that I grew up loving. John Osborne and Dan Huff helped me do that. But really, it's just an accumulation of the lessons I've learned and some broken heart mantras that maybe you can sing to yourself until you're strong enough to pick yourself over the person that's not picking you.
1,000%. I feel that very much. I hear that in these songs. Like, some of them, I'm trying to think of the ones that really, like, had a moment where I was like, like, there was a one where you say, my therapist is going to be proud of me.
No,
for that.
I knew what you were going to say.
Better than when you get to like show up to therapy and you're like, guess what I did?
Guess what I didn't do last week, and you're going to be so proud.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes more important. No, I ain't. Such a great song. Talk about that one a little bit
Thank
more.
Thank you. Well, that was the one that there's a bunch of different moments in the Bible where they say something along the lines of, guard your mouth. It's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of it. Be careful with your words. And as a child growing up watching my favorite movie, Labyrinth, with David Bowie in it, there's a moment in that movie that, watching it as an adult, it struck me when he says, words have power, Sarah, be careful. And I realized it's so funny that the Bible and David Bowie are saying the same thing. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that the way I speak to myself profoundly changes how I feel. And, you know, how I speak to myself today changes how I will feel about myself tomorrow. And I'm really bad about beating myself down whenever something doesn't go right and making something feel as if it's my fault. And I feel as if, and no, I ain't. I wanted to be able to write a song that if someone is trying to be strong and to love themselves more than the person that doesn't really love them, that they are able to sing it back to themselves over and over again until they can positively manifest that boundary for themselves. Because I think that there is beauty in boundaries, a lot of healthy relationships, friendships, you know, love relationships, working dynamics. Having healthy boundaries helps you be able to love people the fullest. And so that's kind of just related back to Bed of Roses. I think that when a woman truly flourishes, you know, I think of her as like a rose. I just remember growing up there is a saying that compares women and roses, and I always hated it. And it was, roses are as finicky as women. You got to tend them all the time for them to be happy, for them to grow right. And it always made me angry. You know, I always had good luck with roses. I just gave them time and patience and water, and I waited for them to flourish the way they wanted to. And I think that, you know, not to make it just for women, but just as a woman personally, trying to figure out where it is that I can plant myself, that I can grow to my fullest potential. Where do I want to sow good seeds of intention for myself to grow the things I want in my garden, aka my life, and how to weed out the things and the people that don't help me grow the best. Find a good gardener, find a good man that will love me and help me grow to my fullest potential. And I think that when a woman truly blossoms in their life, it is like a rose. But every single beautiful rose, the most beautiful roses, have the hardest of thorns, and it is to protect them. And I feel like boundaries are thorns on rose. And so I felt as if this song had to be in the Bed of Roses album to fit into the concept.
When you, hearing you talk about all of this, that was beautiful, by the way, like so wonderfully said. But you mentioned how this covers a decade of going from 20 to 30. Like all the things I hear you saying are the things that I feel like women start to realize after you turn 30.
Yeah.
Like people will tell you at 28, 29, you're like, okay, what are you talking about? And then you turn 30 and something like truly like happens, and you start to realize all of the things that you're talking about, all the things you're singing about on this album.
Yeah. And I think life has just always kind of granted me these moments where the biggest curses, the biggest heartbreaks and things like that I would consider the bad parts, the most beauty has come from. Mm-hmm. And as a songwriter, I always tell people on stage that a lot of us have different types of heartbreaks, but we all feel the same type of hurt through different situations. It's a similar type of darkness that you go through. And, you know, as songwriters, we get to take that, these experiences that all of us experience, and for 3 minutes at a time, we can make someone feel a little less alone in that moment. And looking back at that first album, I don't look at numbers. I try not to focus on the numbers because it will drive you crazy. Mm-hmm. But I remember looking at my royalties one day, and I realized that the songs that were the most vulnerable and the hardest to write and the hardest to put out, the scariest ones, were the ones that quadrupled or five times the upbeat ones that I thought would get me on a good tour or whatever at the time. And so I just wanted to lay it all out there. And
Some of those from the first record that really...
Looking for a Lighter is a big one.
I was hoping you were going to say that whenever.
Everyone requests that at shows, and I just... Now I look back and I wish we had done something with it, maybe. I wish I had promoted it more. But Looking for a Lighter, Small Town Hypocrite. A lot of people request just the beginning of Just Friends. They're like, finish that song. Finish that part of the song. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's the ones that were the hardest to write that connected to the most people. And that is the beauty of songwriting, is that there are moments when you go through a crazy heartbreak and you get to be able to remind yourself that maybe this will help someone else through another one. Maybe that's why I had to experience it. When you experience pain, you are able to connect to other people that have experienced those pains, and you can find comfort within that community. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced good love now, but I experienced a lot of not good love. And thank God for him, because I got a hell of a lot of good songs from it.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can
course.
Say that on here.
You can. It's funny. I have a friend who's going through a breakup right now. And I was saying to her, I was like, there's so much amazing creative energy that comes out of this darkness. I was like, I know it's hard, but like, if you can try to harness some of that, like, it's like you're saying, just taking the bad moments and like finding the beauty in them. I think that it's so special. And you hear it all throughout this record. What song are you maybe most excited to see how people react to?
Oh, it's probably No I Ain't, just because that's the one we're really creating the focus track around. Another one that I love on this record is Kara. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've written a lot of songs about men, or two men that have hurt me. And I wanted to write one to my ex's ex that I realized, I was like, oh, wait, we went through the same things with the same man. I bet we would have been friends.
Right.
But I've never met Kara, but I hope you're doing well, Kara, wherever it is that you are.
I know, it's so funny how like you can hear about someone for so long and you kind of resent them, and then you start to sympathize with them when tables turn.
Well, that song, it was one of those things I always tell my friends, that the first date you ever go on, ask them how their last relationship was. Not just how it ended, How was that person? How was y'all's dynamic? And if they call them crazy or the B word, you know that they're going to be calling you that when it ends, even if you don't do anything wrong. And so he had said that he was very grateful for her and said all this nice stuff. And I was like, okay, green flag. Whoop.
Yep.
You know?
Winner.
And a few months later, he was talking about cleaning out a storage container that he had. And it was one of her boxes there. And he goes, well, I guess I got to go see that B word again. And I was like, whoa. Where in this time did this happen? And I remember going, I don't like you calling her that. And he said, well, you don't know her. You don't know what we went through. And I said, okay, I'm going to step back. I don't know her. But it stuck with me and it bothered me that I didn't speak up more. And so when it ended, and it ended on the basis of he wasn't communicating very well, and he had said that was the thing that she got the angriest at him for, I was like, I have to write a song like, oh, Kara, I see what you're saying. He's not saying very much at all. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's true. He was a beautiful man, but one of the most indecisive people I've ever met.
As so many of them are. One of the other songs I wanted to talk to you about is Pot and Kettle.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard that like turn of the phrase, talk about writing that song and like where that
came
from.
It was the most random of days. I was writing with two friends of mine, Stephen Wilson Jr. and Connor Thewitt. And I had rented this little cabin in Leapers Fork, Tennessee. And I'd invited my friends down to write for the week. And we were just talking, and I don't know who said it. It's the funniest thing that I can't remember how it really came to be, but one of us said, well, that's the pot calling the kettle back, or black. And I think Stephen was the one that said, did you say the pot calling the kettle back? And we all kind of just looked at one another, and it just kind of fell out. I started talking about kind of the dynamic of my mom and dad and a couple different couples in our lives around us. And it just came to be. It was so much fun to write. And I feel like Stephen Wilson, anytime he ever plays on something, he just brings that certain sound that I just love. So I've brought him into tracking sessions before just to try to get a little bit of that magic, because he has magic.
That's amazing. The record is so beautiful, coming out March 7th. Now tell me about the book.
Oh.
And how did this idea happen for there to be a book, The Bed of Roses, and the album?
It felt fitting to have an album that was, it's a little bit more sad song centric than say more positive songs. It's a lot more reflective songs, I guess, or introspective. But through this, something I've always just been drawn to is romance novels. And it's because when the world feels out of control, or I'm going through a heartbreak and I'm not really believing in true love anymore, it was always such a comfort to be able to read one book and know that at the end of this book, these two people will end up together and they're going to be happy because they were written for each other. They were meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a little part of me that wants to believe and still does believe, no matter how much the world tries to tell you differently, that we have people that are meant for us. We were written for each other. And so getting to write two people to fall in love, and also focusing in on this romance novel, I wanted it to not just be about the love. I love a book where a woman finds herself through the things that she's going through in that book, and there's love. So trying to focus in on the main character has to listen to her gut, and hoping that through reading this book for enjoyment, that people kind of take from that when your gut speaks up, listen to it. God's in your gut. And I hope that people enjoy it, and I hope they get maybe just a few little moments where they reflect on their lives and listen to their intuition a little bit more after reading it.
That's amazing. And talk about, you know, you wrote this with, I'm drawing a blank on her name.
Carolyn Brown.
Oh, talk about working with Carolyn. Like, what did you learn in this process? What was similar to writing songs? What was completely different? What was hard? What came easy?
It was so much fun. I mean, I would have loved more than 2.5 months. We had 2.5 months everything done from the beginning to the final edit. And it was a little nerve-wracking, the first meeting I go into with a literary agent, when they say, all right, normally we have a full year for this and we have 2.5 months. Ooh. So we're going to have to get on this. But I would write 10, 12 hours a day. I just sat there. I wish someone could have taken a cinematic time lapse of like all the boxes piling around me. I was also shipping stuff in for some shows coming up, and all I did was write. And I enjoyed it so much. The first day after I sent the final edit in, I woke up and I was sad because I was like, I miss my characters. I don't get to build any more story today. And so I started writing songs. And anyways, Carolyn Brown, it was the coolest thing that she was willing to write this with me because I needed guidance. I need a professional to help me create this in such a short amount of time and really get it to the point that I want people to be connected to it more so than just outside of, you like my music, so you want to read the book. Mm-hmm. I want people from just the romance genre that love Carolyn Brown's books to come in and try this out and maybe be intrigued and want to go listen to my music. So working with her was just a dream come true because the first character I had created in the book was an older lady that was very sassy, a Texan, and she's kind of the wise sage to the main protagonist, which is more fashioned after me, and I ran all of her conversations and all of her decisions through a filter of me. Would I make that decision? Mm-hmm. Would I say something like that? And so then with Kathleen, who was named after a pseudo-grandmother of mine that passed away, we weren't related, but she was my grandma, you know what I mean? And I named the older character about that, and I have this entire outline of where it's going to go and who, you know, what characters are involved. And then Carolyn Brown says that she's willing to come in and help me. And she is Kathleen. Like, she is truly just like the character that I'd already created to be the wise sage that helps and guides the main protagonist. And so it was so cool to live that while writing the book because she gave me so much knowledge and it was like a masterclass. It truly was.
Wow.
Making this album was a masterclass. Yeah. I've just worked with so many just incredible geniuses with so much respect, you know, of their caliber that, I can't wait to write another book, to be honest.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, I already have ideas for three new ones. So I want to keep creating the town of Homestead. And this is the silliest thing that I'm doing right now, but I had a song on Sims 4. And as a child that loved Sims, to the point I've logged 2,000 hours of playing Sims in my life. My computer reminds me of that and it hurts. But I've created the entire town. I'm still creating right now, but I've created the entire town of Homestead because as people have been reading the book on my team, they're asking, they're like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to find where everything is. I'm building the town out in my mind. And it got me thinking about Sims and I was like, I could build the entire town and create the characters and then create some of the fans that come in and follow and then create an entire town around that. Yeah. So right now I'm creating a Sims 4 Homestead is the name of the town.
That is so cool.
It's fun. It's just different. Like I love video games and I love connecting to people and just like, I think releasing an album in 2020 really made me hone in on, I like doing TikTok lives. I don't like getting glammed for it sometimes, but I like being glammed on a TikTok live and an Instagram live and getting to talk to people as I'm playing and kind of having that more live, you know, feedback. So doing The Sims and just getting to answer questions as we're going, it's been pretty cool.
That's amazing. Are you going to get to do some book tour stops?
That's what we're planning. We're planning some of that stuff right now. And so the official physical copy will be coming out on June 3rd. And I think that's when we're planning on doing all that and kind of pumping the album up again.
Amazing.
So,
well, I'm in a book club, so I might have to suggest this.
Oh my gosh,
this summer.
Please, that would help me so much. And I also just love hearing how people are going to react to it. That's the thing I'm the most nervous and excited about is how are people going to react to the album and the book? So, if you like it, please go comment. If you don't
comment.
I'll cry.
Please don't. No, everyone, this is going to be so amazing. Congratulations on this beautiful record and congratulations on the book, which will be out this summer. Kaylee Hammack, thank you for coming to see us.
Thank you for having me.